Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. And of course, you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. Just so much going on in the DC sports world. We open up talking about the Caps. They're up 3-1 in their series. Our Caps discussions always presented by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America. Check out acecomputers.com now.
And by the way, if you're somebody that for whatever reason you were watching something else or you weren't home and you didn't actually follow that Caps game, that was way closer than that score indicates.
Oh, yeah.
And
they were losing in third period.
They were on the wrong side of it for a decent chunk of it. And the pull away is great. Big sigh of relief. If we came back 2-2, this guy right over here, he
would have had a panic meter would have been off the charts. Off the
it would have been a 10. Like
it would have been a 19 out of 10.
Yeah. So the Caps win. Massive Huge news win. Here in D.C. regarding the Commanders. They plan to announce a deal for the new stadium at RFK. Stay tuned to the station for all the latest news. Mayor Bowser and Josh Harris are set to have a joint press conference with some of the details 11 o'clock today, but we've been talking about the RFK deal. Put up a poll of the day brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. And typically, the NFL draft would be the biggest story in D.C. and the draft hall, and we're going to get to that in moments. But there are four choices here. What's the biggest D.C. sports story? Caps up 3-1 on Montreal, Commanders to RFK, Nats, Dylan Cruz rolling, and Commanders draft hall. Right now, the Commanders draft hall, and I think typically it'd be the winner is at 7%.
Wow.
But let's talk about it. Well, Jason, you know only, Virginia
only,
Tech
they
well.
They only had five picks, so that's probably one reason. But yeah,
I'm pretty surprised.
And they had a late first round pick.
I thought it was a lock that they would move back from one of their first two picks.
Yeah.
But like, it just shows you that Peters and the staff really loved Connerly and Trey Amos from
in their minds, they got two first round picks.
Right.
So they if you remember, like, I believe on one of the mocks we did, I picked Trey Amos.
Yeah.
With our first, with
you
my
did.
Pick.
You did.
So, it, you know, I think there's some validity to that idea.
So let's go through it. So second round, they take Trey Amos. He played for three different schools.
Right.
So he's kind of the modern day collegiate athlete that bounces around.
Little different 6'1", 195. Because his staff left. And so he followed them to Ole Miss. But yes.
Okay. But still three schools, right?
Yeah.
Louisiana Lafayette. Alabama,
yeah.
Ole Miss.
Yeah.
13 pass breakups as a cornerback, 122 tackles, three interceptions.
I mean, I don't think they could have done better. I think that was just a dream. It's almost a better pick, like, for its value than maybe even the first round pick. Like, it's a great
pick. And we kind of talked about the fact that, you know, they went out and traded for Lattimore. They drafted Sanders still last year, but we still felt like they needed another corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got one. So now you got three, in my opinion, three legit starting corners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lattimore has a much better
year. Saw of the undrafted free agents that they had signed, at least a couple of them already are DBs. I mean, they are looking at that DB position hard.
And by picking Amos, you can move Sanders still now. If you want to, you can move him inside the slot, even though he played both last year, both very well.
Yeah, he can play all over the place.
Now you got some versatility with your defensive backfield, which is great.
They also picked up Jonathan Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Signed him away, yep.
So you don't necessarily know who's going to start, but you have a lot more depth, a lot more choices.
Yeah.
Still got Noah I on the roster, EB.
No what?
I call him Noah I.
Oh, yeah. He's
Noah
a backup.
I. Yeah.
But that's okay. He's a role player. He
He's a nickel.
Like
a
I didn't
nickel.
Mind him.
So they take Trey Amos in the second round.
But Amos could take his spot.
If you want to chime in on your thoughts on the Commanders draft, you can at 800-636-1067.
My grade on their first two picks, I give him an A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, maybe Connerly is more of a project, than some people would like for where he was selected, but I think his raw skill set is awesome. Love the Amos pick. I think that's just a solid A.
Why is he a project? I hadn't heard that. I saw the video of him just dominating Abdul Carter.
Maybe a little that went viral. Maybe than you know some people may have thought.
Didn't he basically give up no sacks at Oregon?
Two.
Yep. Two in a 1,000-plus snaps.
Right. Yeah. No, so, I mean, you're calling him a project. I hadn't heard that angle. Maybe he is.
Well, I read that he could start out at guard and then move out to tackle. But
I don't know. I think he's young. I think that's one thing.
He's definitely a work in progress.
I feel like there's more upside to him.
He needs technical refinement to go with his exceptional footwork.
Yeah.
That was one of the things. I mean, a lot of these guys don't give up sacks.
Mm-hmm. That's a key thing. Like the footwork, I think that's the number one thing I want in my tackle.
I saw the freakish video where he's sitting there on his knees and jumps up.
Yeah.
It's sick.
I love the pick.
For somebody who weighs that much.
I give him an A. First two picks, A for me.
So the people that I saw that were upset with the picks, at least the early picks and really throughout the draft, is that they did not find the pass rusher,
the edge rusher
in the draft.
If you want to chime in,
800-636-1067, but I want to get to the wide receiver, so let's fill out the draft. So in the fourth round, they take the wide receiver from Tech. You've been to a million Tech games. Mm-hmm. Just watching the highlights, they showed Jalen Lane on a couple of reverses, like in his highlight package. It wasn't just like catching the ball.
I think they're drafting him primarily as a kick punt returner.
He's a punt returner. Yeah.
And then whatever he gives them at receiver, or gadget. I think he's a gadget guy for Cliff and a returner.
Yeah,
he's got short,
lightning
right?
Speed.
5'9".
Yeah, he's small, but
he's just
fast.
A lightning speed guy who can take it to the house.
I mean, his combine numbers were absurd. He ran a 4.35 40. That was fourth best among wideouts. Vertical of 40 inches, third best.
Love
he's
that.
A great
broad
athlete.
Jump of 11 feet, third best among
Look,
wideouts.
Look, his numbers would have been a lot better receiving. First of all, he had an injury last year that affected him towards the last month. But Virginia Tech's quarterback play was shoddy at best. I mean, he had Grant Wells 2 years ago, and then Drones took over. And then Drones last year was shoddy, and then they threw in Pop Watson. They've had bad quarterback play since he was there. His numbers would have been better, but he's like a little Santana Mossy.
I'm sure that Cliff is going to find packages for him, but his impact initially could be as a kick returner. Because I heard his wideouts coach called into Denton and Linnell over the weekend, and he said, good luck thinking he's going to fair catch a ball. The kid's fearless.
No,
he's
likes
not
it.
Fair catching the ball. Like he's
and the other
he's
thing about him,
trying to make an impact with
the
it.
Other thing about him is he's a good kid. He's a,
right.
I call him a kid.
Oh,
he's 22. He's a good dude.
They said he's like you have to kick him out of the gym.
No, he's a
like,
good.
He's
dude.
He's a grinder.
His dad was a high school football coach, or maybe still is in South Carolina.
Right,
and he just comes from a good family.
Mm-hmm.
He was well liked. He was great with the media.
I heard him being interviewed. He sounded like a great.
He's a good dude.
Yeah,
we'll try and get him on the
you
show.
You know what? A for that pick too. A. I'm just telling you. A.
So sixth round, they draft the Bruin, Kane Medrano, a linebacker, 24 years old.
Yeah.
If you look at his career, I think this is actually his last season, 72 tackles, 3 forced fumbles, 1.5 sacks, 2 picks.
I heard his
6'3", 222.
He claims that he's one of the best in the draft, if not the best, at covering running backs and tight ends out of the backfield.
That's a good skill to have.
So that's,
if he gets
that's
on the field.
His niche. He covers running backs and tight ends, in space.
He posted a 9.883 relative athletic score, which is one of the new metrics that they use, which is a really high score.
They drafted athletes.
Yeah.
They went hardcore. They drafted speed. They drafted athletes. That one, I give it a B. If you want me to not be a douche and give them all A's, I give that one a B.
Well, you kind of warn him. He might be great.
He might be great.
Well, he's a sixth rounder.
Of course.
So, I mean, let's see.
And then in the seventh round,
be a special teamer.
They drafted a running back,
Jacory. I love this one.
Krosky Merritt.
I love him. Now, he only played one game. There were some issues with eligibility, but Keim had the great nugget that even though they had issues with his eligibility, he only played the one game early on, and then they kind of shut him down. He went to every meeting, every practice. The guy just loves football, even after they knew he probably wasn't going to play.
The year before at Alabama State, he finished with 17 touchdowns and almost 1,200 yards rushing.
He's just an athlete.
Well, no, year before, he was at New Mexico before Arizona. He went to Alabama State first.
Right.
This is what is so weird about this story. is his eligibility was in question because of that first year at Alabama State, where he played four games. You could play four games and be a redshirt. And then he gave his jersey to another player. How did the NCAA or how did the school not know who that other player was?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, so that was the confusion. They saw someone else running around with his number four.
Yeah. And they gave him eight games of stats, but Alabama State claims he only played four games.
Right.
He gave his jersey. How does the NCAA not know, okay, that was a different kid?
How can't you pull some film?
It wasn't the same kid. He had a different name.
They're not paying attention to Alabama State. They've got more eyeballs on
Arizona
Alabama.
Arizona should be.
Yeah, they got.
I agree. Somebody dropped the ball.
That's a terrible situation.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. What's also dumb on the
situation? Unless they were just
lying,
and he was actually out there, but I doubt
that. That happens because you have 120 kids sometimes on your roster.
Okay, but you got to know the name. They didn't keep the same name.
Yeah, no, I know. Did they have the name on the back of the jersey? I don't know.
At Alabama State, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm guessing no.
If we did this poll last year when they drafted Jaden Daniels, do you think that's the bigger story over RFK and the Caps? Because if you look at our poll right now, it's got 7% Commanders draft.
Number two and getting your savior quarterback?
Yes. Well,
because I would say, by and large, most people on the whole knew none of these guys.
Right.
So that's why it's not a big thing, you know, unless you're diehard.
Well, when you pick 29 and your first pick's a tackle, there's nothing sexy there.
Most average fans, like, you know, My daughters love the team. They don't know who any of these guys are. They knew who Jaden Daniels was. I could see why it's kind of a back burner story. I will say, and here I am kind of grading, just almost tongue-in-cheek, but I get infuriated when I read the national grades. and there was somebody, I think it was from CBS Sports, and it might even have been Pete Prisco. I'm not sure. But they gave us a B or B minus for day one, and then they said because they have give me our tackles. They mentioned Coleman. They said Tunsil already Coleman. With Tunsil well, they got, already there yeah, and Tunsil Brandon and Coleman. It kind of scratches your head. Well, Coleman sucked. I mean, I'm being mean.
He was fine,
but he gave up nine sacks. He clearly needed an upgrade. That's why they did it.
You always look to upgrading, bringing competition. That's exactly
why they did it. They're going to move Coleman. I want to puke.
The grades are stupid. they're dumb. When people grade the drafts,
but it's just
dumb.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. They have Coleman and Tunsil at tackle. Why would they draft?
I read the same thing.
Yeah, and I was infuriated. I was like, they're moving Coleman because he wasn't that good.
I don't know if it was Trapasso from CBS or whoever it was. You think Chris Trapasso knows more about Brandon Coleman than Adam Peters and Dan Quinn?
Yeah,
Cliff Kingsbury?
It's infuriating to me.
I know.
We weren't talking tackle going into the draft.
I agree. That's fine.
It wasn't a concern.
No. I agree, but people were questioning whether or not Coleman was going to be moved to guard or not. That was a discussion. Yeah. It was discussed that he did give up nine sacks. I didn't think necessarily they're going to take one with their first pick. Believe me. But it's the idea that they're already entrenched. The writer, whoever it was, Trapasso or
I don't know who whoever I thought it might have been him.
You know, acting like they have two entrenched starters, and it made no sense to draft him there.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
You put your stock into what they know.
You won't send Prisco an angry email.
But
I think you should.
I read that right away, and I was like, this guy's an idiot.
Here's some grades just to infuriate you.
Go ahead.
Chad Reuter.
Yeah.
Or Reuter.
Yeah.
NFL.com gave them a B.
For CBS what? For Sports. Day one or overall?
I think it's the whole draft.
Well, they only had five picks.
CBS Sports, Chris Trapasso, who we're talking about. A.
They gave him an A. Right,
there you go.
He gave... first pick of B minus.
USA Today.
Or maybe he was still feeling that way.
Davis.
He's a douche.
B plus.
Ooh, that's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, he's an idiot.
Sports Illustrated a B. Yahoo Sports B plus.
But see, you also have to remember
ESPN, Mel Kiper.
Yeah.
What'd he give him?
B plus.
There you go. You'll take a B plus.
B plus is fine. Not going to argue a B+.
But also, you got to remember, they had a first and second round pick, but then they had a fourth. All right, so no third and no fifth.
Yeah, I agree. So you get limited a little bit. You only have five picks.
You got five picks, and two of them are six and seven.
Likely.
That's what Kiper said. He says, I like what Peters did with his first three selections, but this is not quite an A because it's a small class and because he didn't address the hole at edge.
Right. So that
I was kind of surprised they didn't go after an edge, but, you know, who knows who was on their board. They clearly liked Jalen Lane better than any edge that was out there available at the time, the fourth.
Well, I think also that that opens it up for them signing some of these old free agents that are out there, and you just hope you can squeeze a year out of them.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure they have a plan.
Whoever that might be.
All right, still
or that they didn't, like Cakes was saying, very surprised they didn't trade back at some point.
Kind of shocked me. But,
and I mean, pick up a third.
I do want to say, maybe in the third they could. I predicted that they might keep all five. Go to the
predicted tape. They might or they did.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to say 100%, but I said I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed with their picks because they did so well in free agency. And then, you know, what's the difference between another fifth-round pick and an undrafted guy? It's not that big of a difference.
Is wouldn't be surprised a prediction? That's covering
kind
your bases.
Of because, it kind of because
works
everyone,
both ways.
Everyone was assuming they were going to just, obviously, they're going to trade down and accumulate more picks.
Mm-hmm.
But I was making the argument that what's the difference between an extra fifth-round pick and an undrafted guy? I don't think there's that much difference.
Of course, you can always hit us up at Junks Radio on Twitter with your thoughts on the Commanders draft haul. You can also text us on the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza is a local favorite since 1955, serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square. Because Lido Pizza never cuts corners for locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com, text 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. Coming up next, we'll get into the Caps. They take a 3-1 series lead.
Love it.
Next, here on the Junkies.
And Van Riemsdyk alertly will play it ahead, and Montreal is going to put Caulfield to the bench. Big line trading and heading off. Here's Mangiapane coming down the middle. He scores! Andrew Mangiapane scores from the high slots, coming into the zone. He just beat Jakub Dobesh with 3:37 to go in the third. It's 3-2 Washington.
By the way, I made an egregious error yesterday when I was watching Caps Canadiens. I sat down. I turned the game on.
You didn't watch Monumental Sports.
At first, I didn't until I realized the error of my ways. So I'm watching, and I'm not really thinking about the commentary at that point. Mm-hmm. And Willie hits the crossbar on a shot, and Dobish, I guess, made an attempt at it, but the pipe saved the shot. The goalie didn't save it.
Right.
Then the commentators, literally for the next 5 minutes, are just slurping Dobesh. And I was like, why are they giving him all these props? Like, it was the goalpost that saved that shot. It wasn't him. Like, he was a split second late. Willie was off by just a little bit. And then I realized, I'm not listening to Joe B. and Alan May filling in for Locker. By the way, Locker tweeted on, I think it was Friday, that he has to take some time away for his health. His doctors recommended to take a few games off. So thoughts are with Locker. Get better soon. Hope to see you back before the end of the series.
Correct.
I'm not sure what that timeline is, but I made a rookie mistake. I started watching the horrible TBS/True TV broadcast.
Honestly, I don't like to do this.
I should be put in Caps fan jail,
I'm
think.
Surprised
but
you
I
did
was
that.
Telling my guys, because I had it on True TV, because that's the first thing that came up on mine.
Yeah.
And I was like, these guys are awful. They're I mean, I felt like they were totally rooting for the Canadians.
Who were they?
They totally did.
I don't even know. They were
so
random,
excited for the Canadians.
They're really? Random, just faceless people talking about the Caps when I could have been listening.
They were
to
so
Joe
excited
B
whenever
and,
they scored.
And Alan May. Like, I should just serve some sort of penance, I think.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I was a bad Caps fan for a little
because
bit.
You knew that Monumental had the
I know,
coverage.
But I just sat down and just got locked into the game and I just spaced it for a little bit.
Yeah.
So well, at I least apologize, you figured it out Joe and you B moved. And Alan May. That was just a gross oversight on my part.
I was just complaining about how awful they are, and they're cheerleading for the Canadians. They bugged the hell out of me.
Yeah, I was glad I saw the error of my ways.
Have you ever seen officiating as bad in the NHL as Friday night?
It's been
night?
Pretty bad. And
Friday night in particular.
I think it's coming from both teams, and the national media are looking at the officiating like it's just bad all the way around.
You know what?
It's not bad for one team or the other. It's just bad.
I saw bad officiating at the umpiring at the Nats game.
Right.
There were 3 blown calls at first base.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God they have the replay, and they overturned all 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just 3 blown calls.
Right.
Well, obvious. I'll say this. The NBA is the worst, and we're bouncing from sport to sport.
Yeah.
Because in the NBA, they release these reports afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't change the outcome. So at the end of the Pistons-Knicks game,
clear foul. Right. Clear foul.
To give you the situation, the Pistons are trailing by two, I believe. Maybe it was one. And there's a three-point shot at the very end of the game by Tim Hardaway Jr., and he gets fouled. They don't call it. All right, so Knicks win the game. They're up 3-1. That's huge. Then afterwards, the NBA releases a report and go, yeah, he should have gone to the foul line for three shots. If he hits two shots, they win the game.
Yep.
You know where that wouldn't have happened? Because I watched them this weekend? UFL. I was watching UFL.
Really?
Were?
Yeah,
I didn't predict that as the next sport.
I don't know why. I don't remember when it was, but there was nothing on.
Right.
And so I could have watched like a replay of the Nats game. Didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it was before we were playing golf. We were trying to figure out something to watch. The UFL, they do real-time monitoring of the calls.
Ah.
And they have like, they even have the guy that always is, who's the, like the NFL, like, Gene Serrano or who's
Serator?
Serator. One of those guys, yeah. Right? It's one guy like that, right there, watching all the monitors, and if they blow a call, they just change it.
Right.
They don't have to wait for someone to review it.
Love it.
And they just change it on the fly.
Here's the thing.
Fantastic.
And we'll get back to the Caps here in a moment. To me, sometimes in the NBA, it's too much. It's these coaches go, timeout. You see the players constantly do this, and they go to replay. Replay takes like 5 minutes. Amazing series going on right now between the Clippers and Nuggets. I could watch best of 35. I mean, it's so good. That game ends on an Aaron Gordon dunk that you can't even tell with the replay if it was out of his hands before.
Mm-hmm.
But the game last night between the Lakers and Timberwolves, the Timberwolves are up by one. Anthony Edwards loses the ball out of bounds on a strip. I've never seen that angle. They had like an overhead angle.
Yeah.
And like I thought that they were just looking to see if the ball was off of LeBron's hands or Anthony Edwards' hands. And all of a sudden, after about a 5-minute review, they go, foul LeBron James.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about that.
I mean, it's
why they were reviewing it.
It's almost too much with the reviews.
But at least they got the call right.
Yeah,
he fouled him.
Rooting for the Timberwolves.
No, but he fouled him.
Yeah,
he clearly fouled him.
Yeah,
he fouled Edwards. He hacked him on the wrist.
I know.
Years ago, that ball's going back to the Lakers.
But how do they miss it in the Knicks game?
I know.
They handed the Knicks a game.
How can they not review it and go, then yes, he was fouled?
And then they release report afterwards.
Yeah,
but they don't change the outcome.
Well, that tells me they just want the Knicks. They don't want Detroit to win. The NBA wants the Knicks to advance.
Getting back to the Caps, Canadiens. Jason was hyping up the Bell Center crowd during one of the breaks.
And
they're crazy.
Okay,
that's fine. He gets defensive. No, that's fine. It's not even that. It's cool. They have 3,500 extra people that Capital One can't hold because it's bigger. Canadiens fans, you all are trash. All of you. All of you Canadiens fans that jeered Logan Thompson as he limped off the ice. If you want to chant his name throughout the game, whatever, to try to get it under his skin, that's fine.
Yeah.
No foul, no harm there.
Right.
But when an opposing player gets banged up and is limping off the ice, can't put any weight on his foot. Now, he had a miraculous recovery to come back and play last night, which is great. You don't jeer the guy on the way off the ice.
Right.
If your trash goalie got hurt at Capital One, here's what we would be doing. We would clap him up. Hey, good to see that you're going off the ice because we're classy.
Mm-hmm.
We're a classy group at Capital One Arena. Bell Center, you're all garbage. You're all trash. And hopefully we dispose of you and throw you out with the trash on Wednesday night because that was a classless move by all of you Canadiens fans.
Did you see the one?
Every last one of you.
The one girl when stoppage of play, Tom Wilson was right behind the net.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the girl? She was probably 20. Mm. Blonde hair girl. Real cute girl.
Right.
But she came up. She was slamming the glass.
Right.
Giving the finger to Wilson. This is a 20-year-old girl.
Yeah.
She would be like my daughter doing it.
I'm going to be.
I couldn't believe it.
Look, I'm not counting any chickens. I'm going to be so happy if the Capitals advance. And Montreal is just, they just have to watch the Caps in the next round. If they advance.
I'm watching that Wilson hit. He's lucky he didn't get some sort of penalty on that. It was very close to the head. Very close.
Hit him right in the shoulder. Just a clean hit.
I'm watching it. Honestly, I love Tom Wilson.
You know what the refs want to do? All they want to do is flag Tom Wilson for anything.
Watch anything.
I've watched it 100 times. He hits him right here.
Do you see the same thing
Boom.
I'm seeing?
Boom, right here.
His elbow, it looks like it hits him right in the jaw.
He hits him square in the shoulder.
Couldn't have been a cleaner hit. I mean, God bless him. But he's lucky he didn't get called for
that. I wonder if
he is lucky because of his reputation, because all they want to do is flag Tom Wilson whenever they can.
Especially considering his reputation. But even if it was Cake Sawville making that hit, I think 50% of the time or more, you're going to get a penalty.
Wish I had that in me to lay a hit like that on somebody. Must feel so good.
I mean,
just to know you can vaporize a guy and basically knock him out of the game with a, might I add,
I actually can't believe he didn't get it. He didn't get a penalty on that.
It was pretty brutal.
Yeah, let's listen to.
It was pretty brutal.
Let's listen to the Canadiens goalie Debesh, I believe is how you pronounce his last name.
Yeah,
crying about Tom Wilson's clean and vicious hit on one of his teammates.
It seemed like on the second goal when Carrier goes down, you must realize he's not going to be able to come back, and he's got to go to the bench. Did you figure there that you guys were in trouble?
Yeah. Well, I was ready for the first shot. I don't even know what happened. I feel like it hit Cole. And it bounced over my pads or something like that. Mm. It's whatever, hockey, I guess. I felt like it's going to be a whistle because they were in their defensive zone and far away. But I guess, as I said, I don't really know the rules. I felt like it should have been a whistle. And I mean, it was kind of a scary hit, but I guess the rules don't apply for everyone in this league. I have no idea.
Just cue up the Tom Wilson doing the cry baby face right at that guy. Please do that.
Have you watched the hit? Yes. The hit is massive.
It was brutal. It was brutal.
I mean, great hit. I'm not hating. I'm just saying I personally would have probably said that's a penalty.
Tom Wilson, look, we love you, Tom Wilson. We have Tom Wilson, and you don't, Montreal. That's going to be a problem for you going forward.
I mean, put it this way. Does that dude have a concussion?
Well, he was out for the rest of the game.
I don't know what he didn't have?
Yeah.
He didn't have his eyes up looking for Tom Wilson. He had his head down looking at the puck, and then his head was on the ice the next moment.
But if that was Connor McMichael getting hit by Josh Anderson, what do you think Cakes would be saying?
If it's a clean hit, I have no problem.
You would have said it wasn't a clean hit.
If he impacts him in the head,
then
I would have a problem with it.
All right, well, look at this and tell me he doesn't impact him in the head.
He doesn't. He hit him square in the shoulder.
Watch his head.
Right to the shoulder. I mean, it's a clean hockey. The ref is right there. If he saw a problem with it, he's going to raise his hand and call a penalty.
I mean, he hit shoulder, too. I'm not saying he didn't hit shoulder.
Clean hit.
Oh, my God.
Clean as the day is long.
He murdered him.
I know. Full speed
murder. I wonder if the crew got word from above that it was kind of one-sided in Game 3.
Right.
And I'm not sure about the penalty calls in Games 1 and 2. But Game 3 was so one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Caps sucked. They were lazy, turnovers. They sucked. They didn't deserve to win that game.
Right.
But I wonder if they said, you know what? It was a little too one-sided. Too many calls for the Canadians. You got to lay off Tom Wilson.
Marty St. Louis didn't love the officiating either, but
yeah.
Sometimes that's what losers do. They complain about officiating.
And by the way, the Caps were terrible on the power play. They got to sew that
They've been out. Really bad the whole series in the power
Floppy.
Play.
Very, Floppy.
Yeah.
Our Caps discussion presented by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America, check out acecomputers.com now. We don't talk a lot about 60 Minutes, but coming up next, we're going to talk about Bill Belichick's disastrous interview on 60 Minutes. Don't go anywhere. So Bill Belichick had an interview, not on 60 Minutes. It was on the CBS Sunday morning show. I just saw the clips. Number one, he was wearing a shirt with a hole.
I mean, that navy sweatshirt had the biggest hole in it I've ever seen. Like, it looked like it'd been worn literally a million times.
Mm.
Like, he clearly doesn't care about his appearance on TV. Like, I know he does when he goes out with his girlfriend because he's dressed up. Like, she's probably like, you can't wear that when we're going out together and we're gonna become Instagram famous, which we are now, which is weird. But yeah, that was like. I don't even know if I would wear that sweatshirt around my house because somebody at my house would be like,
you're a hoarder. You might not keep that one.
No. If a shirt gets a tiny little hole in it, it either goes in the trash. It goes in the trash.
It looks so bad.
You wouldn't even give that sweatshirt to Goodwill because it's so beat up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so bad.
You're right.
But he clearly does that on purpose. But the girlfriend looming over the interview and interjecting herself in the interview. It's almost unbelievable.
It's bizarre behavior.
Can we hear it? Do we have it? I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on, though Hudson has recently posted about it on Instagram.
Why did they agree to do the interview? They were going to be asked about it.
He's trying to hype up North Carolina at every step.
Well, he's promoting his book.
Oh, okay.
She actually sounds kind of like a bitch.
Well, I mean, they knew that they were going to be asked about how they met,
of course,
their relationship.
But I guess is the issue that
they're trying to keep it private.
She was probably 21 at the time. Was he still married at that time?
I don't think he might have been when he first met her because they weren't dating. I don't know
but
about
he just
his.
Met her on a plane.
Maybe
he might have still been married. Maybe
not sure.
But what did she post on Instagram? I didn't follow up.
I don't know.
No, they're just talking about her post where he has her on holding her up with the feet.
Yeah, doing the beach yoga.
Yeah, but then he asked about how they first met.
No, but he asked. Never mind. But the story was that they met on the plane.
Right.
But now there's a lot of people saying that maybe they didn't meet on the plane.
Or that
was a staged thing.
They were actually already dating.
They could have already been dating. There's a lot of theories out there where they're saying that there's a possibility she could be a sex worker.
I did see that.
There's definitely a high-end escort. She's a high-end escort, allegedly. There's a theory floating around about that.
Right. Mm.
Now she she had an older boyfriend before, right?
She did.
I haven't done a deep dive on her. I don't know.
Dude, you're telling me stuff I don't know.
If I recall, that was kind of her MO.
But like if you're CBS, don't you go into this by saying, "We just want to interview Bill." Like, we don't even want the girlfriend on set. Or was that just maybe Bill just say she's going to be on set no matter what?
Well, it might happen. Like,
maybe they thought she was going to talk more and answer more questions.
If you were being interviewed by CBS's Sunday morning show, your wife might be around.
Yeah, but she's not going to have a headset and like listening. She's not going to listen to every question that's being posed to me.
Did she have a headset?
Yeah. She was sitting like 10 feet off
screen. I know that she was sitting there.
She knew exactly. I mean, she heard everything that was happening.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if she had a headset.
I'm super intrigued by the high-end escort rumor.
Where does that come from?
Where's the evidence?
I'll tell you right now. This is the evidence. Is that Robert Kraft got in trouble?
Right.
All right.
Birds of a feather.
Yes. Birds of a feather. They're friends. You know, it's kind of what old rich white guys do. She's followed by lots of sex workers. Now, those could be bots on the social media, but her social media is littered with other sex
workers.
Does
she follow sex workers?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, hold on. I'm reading it right now. Bill calls her my creative muse, which is common language sex workers tell other ones with their partners. Posting photos of Bill where he's unaware to put on her social media.
Yeah, I told you, I don't like that.
And then the fancy photography, which is kind of what sex workers do a lot when they post.
What do you mean fancy photography?
Like posting their fancy meals, posting their vacation photos.
Here's one EB that you'll like. This is according to the New York Post. Her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's her dad, because this is one of those names that go both ways. Lee Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Is the business manager at Toys of Eros, a store which sells lingerie, sex toys, erotic books, and even boasts its own sex museum.
The plot thickens.
There's a little smoke there. So the mom is in the sex business.
Mom or dad?
Probably the mom.
Lee Hudson?
Now, it's just a theory, but people are trying to connect the dots. It's possible.
I mean, Belichick is, there's never been a person that's been more smitten with another person on the planet than him.
Why did the host call him Belichick?
I don't know. Because that's how you spell his name.
He's a dum-dum.
Yeah.
You know how to pronounce his last name.
He is turning himself. Is it me or is he just?
He's doing a story on a guy.
He's turning himself into a laughing stock, right? Bill Belichick. He's like the butt of all the jokes.
A little, but you know what? I'm kind of with Drab in this respect. All right, he's divorced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let him be happy. 73-year-old guy. He's happy.
It's fine. You live your life.
You know what I mean?
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for all the parties involved. Is the way I look at it. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. It's a weird, weird dynamic between those two.
He's 49 years older than her.
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
I mean, just to give it perspective, she is 1 year older than my daughter. My daughter just turned 23. This woman's 24 years old.
She's the age of my daughter.
It would be like my daughter bringing home.
She's a year older than mine.
Bill as a guy called Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick.
I would be like, This is weird.
Jason would be butt sized if you brought all the rings.
I mean, I guess that part would be cool, but then at the end of the day, I would be like, I mean, my daughter is sleeping with a 73-year-old guy. That's kind of weird.
I don't like that she's talking for him.
I don't like it either.
Like, you're not the main character. Right? You're the hot girlfriend on the side for the old man.
Yeah,
that's the greatest football coach of all time. Let him say what he wants to say.
Let him answer the question.
He's the world's greatest at not answering a question in the history of interviews.
Yeah.
I think he's got this, Jordan.
Yeah, you're turning him into a buffoon on national television.
Maybe a shot from the side of the room. We're not talking about that.
I don't think that she broke up his marriage because from what I see, he got divorced in 2006.
Okay, so he's been on the rebound for a while.
No, okay. He had a long time girlfriend.
Sure, I think
long time girlfriend. Yeah. Okay,
maybe he was cheating on the girlfriend.
Okay,
I don't know. That's just trying to, you know. And she was butt young.
I mean, it's a lock. He was coming out of her house when he was shirtless in that viral video from a few years ago. That was established. That was her.
I think so.
They were together at that point.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of when it all came out.
Right. It's a good vid.
Although I think that video actually came out a few months after it occurred.
Okay.
Right?
Is North Carolina going to be any good in college football this year?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean, he's definitely recruiting his ass off.
Is she going to be on the sidelines wearing a headset during games?
Oh.
A headset? I'm going to say no.
She was at the spring practice, like, coordinating all the media stuff.
Oh, is she like the
front
media?
And center?
She's the media person?
That would be a disaster.
She's like a media liaison. Like she's yeah.
She demanded or requested to be CC'd on all emails.
She's going
to
be on the sideline during Tar Heels games.
What
I'm
is
calling
going on?
That right now.
What is going on? What is that?
He's been struck by Cupid's arrow.
Yeah, he's smitten.
I know, but where does she get this like control? Like she's a maniac.
Where?
I know where. Between her legs.
No, I know, but
she thinks she's defending her man.
But like again,
defending
like
her
said,
man, or she's just making it all about
he's
her.
He's plenty good at defending himself. Like he's been in a million interviews and he knows how to not answer a question. Or he can say, not gonna answer that. No comment.
Here's what's happening.
She's a nightmare.
Belichick can't believe he stumbled into this 24-year-old and he doesn't want to lose it, so he's letting her do whatever she wants, and she has way too much power already.
Yeah.
That's generally true. I think that's generally
true. He can't believe
true.
The good fortune he has.
Yeah. He's just letting her get away with murder.
Yeah.
But what is it? Why is she, like, none of our wives would want to do that. Like, none of them want to do it.
She's a control freak. She clearly wants control.
That's just her personality.
Yeah. Terrible. She's got a terrible personality.
Man, Bill Belichick. I thought more of you than this.
Right.
It is embarrassing.
What's happening to you?
All right. Coming up next, we're going to get into the biggest news of the day. The Commanders and RFK. Yeah, it's happening. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.